they've been taken captive, in captivity in Babylon.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm going to bless you in Babylon, but it's, you know, there, it's like you're going to stay here in captivity, and I'm going to bless you there. So it's like I'm going to bless you, but it's going to be a blessing in a tough situation, not a great situation.
Right, right.
And it's like, oh, I don't want to know. I remember someone, like I preached on that during the actually at verses and what you think it means. And she was like, I didn't want to hear that. This is Unhurried, and I'm your host, Doug Kyle. You know, life can feel like a race, rushing to the next thing, never time to reflect. But there is incredible value in slowing down with God to take in His perspective, His presence, His pace. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. Next to John 3:16, it might be one of the most famous Bible references that people know. You hear it quoted by athletes, tattooed on arms, written on shoes, posted on Instagram captions. But what was Paul actually talking about when he wrote those words? And how does this verse help us discover real contentment, not just in hard times, but even when life is going well? This is season 2, episode 36 of Unhurried. I'm your host, Doug Kyle. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, Doug.
Nice to have you here.
Of course.
It's kind of different. I feel like we've been changing things up a little bit lately.
Yeah.
We did the evening. Now we're doing a Friday podcast recording. So, we'll see how this goes.
We'll see how it goes. Yeah. I like kind of, you know, moving it around a little bit. It kind of keeps it fresh.
It is fresh. Yeah. We'll see if we ever do this again. But our schedules it was better for us to do it today. So we're back even after last week's scalding listener question.
Yeah.
Which we endured as they coached us on things that, said wrong or didn't really. The way we speak was being critiqued.
Right. Yeah. Well, I did get one comment that said that we didn't actually say it that it didn't sound that bad.
It didn't sound like we
and
said,
I was like,
you know too much.
Right. And I was like, thank you.
Thank you.
It didn't sound that bad.
It wasn't that bad. Don't worry. It wasn't as bad.
It wasn't as bad as you think it was. Yeah. You know, I'm like, oh, cool. That's great. Thank you. No, I'm just kidding.
I don't think I'm going to be able to break the habit, though. It's just going to be
Oh,
there.
No. It's part of my vernacular now. Yeah. It is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is.
As you know.
Well, we're back into the next episode. It's been a crazy week for me, actually, a couple weeks, lots of meetings. And one of the things that's been really cool, though, in the last couple weeks is lots of meetings with pastor groups, a bunch of other pastors, both around the country as well as in our city. And I love those times. They're just really rich and super encouraging. And it gives me this broader perspective of just kind of what God's doing in His church around the country and even around the city. Very sharpening for me and encouraging. But I know it was actually a crazy week for you, too, because you were leading worship at a youth camp this week, right?
Yeah. I was down in Imperial Beach, actually leading worship on the beach, which I'm like,
oh, nice.
That is just cool. You know,
nice.
Like it was awesome. So I got to do it with two of our high school students because it was a high school event for their school.
Yeah.
And it was great. Like we had just a great time and got to sing, you know, worship and lead, you know, what? Almost 200 students in worship on the beach. And I'm like,
wow.
This is awesome. Like
yeah.
it was a really, really great week and a really great experience to have. So yeah, it was cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
You gotta be tired though after that.
Oh, I'm exhausted.
Did you sleep?
Yeah. Well, I only stayed one night.
Okay.
But, you know, and we led at multiple, you know, sessions that they had. But no, I'm exhausted, but it's fun, you know? So, you know, it's great. You know, it's all good. So.
Well, here we are. We're in this Philippians 4 series, and this is the week that we look at discontentment versus contentment.
Right.
How do we find contentment when so much around us would force us or encourage us, you know, motivate us to be discontented, to find that contentment? And it comes in a passage in Philippians 4, verse 12, where Paul says really one of the boldest things anyone can say. He says, I've learned the secret of being content. And so that's a pretty powerful statement. I've learned the secret. And what is that secret? And on Sunday, as I have shared this with you, I'm really, really wanting people to capture the idea that there are four myths about contentment in our culture. They are that contentment comes from good circumstances or abundant possessions, satisfied appetites, or self-sufficiency. And all of those things are myths. That's not where contentment lies at all. Instead, we get to the most famous verse in Philippians, in my mind, Philippians 4:13, which is, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Now, that's connected to contentment, although a lot of times we don't see it that way because we tend to focus on this verse all by itself. That's not the way this verse is usually used. Do you hear, how do you hear this verse, Philippians 4:13, I can do this, you know, I can do all this through him who gives me strength?
Right. Yeah, typically, it always is like when something tough is going on or you want to like accomplish something,
yeah,
you know, then you, I find that that's when you quote, or when this verse gets quoted is when, like, you know, something in your life is too much for you and you, I can find, you know, God gives me strength. So then, you know, there, and then, or it's like, you want to, like, you know, be a champion of something of some sort, yeah, you know, and it's like, and then after you go, you know, I can do all things, you know, through Christ.
Yeah. Then afterwards, once you achieve it, then it's a motivation for others. You right. can do it too. After right. all, the Bible says I could do all this right. through him who gives me strength.
Right.
Interesting. It's often used in the athletic
yes, it is.
Realm.
Yes, it is.
You feel a yeah. lot with yeah. athletes yeah. using it. It's sort of a motivational mantra, kind mm-hmm. of this pump-up verse. Like, yes. I can, whatever I set my mind to, I can
right.
do.
Right, right. I'm pretty sure Stephen Curry, who, you know, phenomenal basketball player, I'm pretty sure he has this verse tattooed on him.
I think, does he also have it written on his shoe?
I think he has it written on his shoe, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think both... tattoo as well as on his shoe.
Yeah.
And no judgment there, because no. I don't know how he's using
it. Right.
You know, I don't
right.
know. Hopefully he means what it means.
Right. Right.
But a lot of people can look at that, especially when you're a celebrated athlete right. as good as right. he is, and right. say, wow, the reason he reached the stars, the reason he is a superstar, right. the reason that he's had so much success is because he somehow claimed that verse and,
right.
and it worked for him.
Right, 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 right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, quite frankly, it sort of is just, it sounds a lot like the power of positive thinking.
Yes, a little bit.
That's the way people can use it anyway. Like,
right.
if I just believe this enough
right.
that I can do all things,
right.
then I can do all things.
Right. right.
Whatever I set my mind to is the way it's used. But is there something more to the passage mm-hmm. than that? As a matter of fact, I think if we look at it that way, we're missing out on really what the passage is truly all about.
Yeah.
So let's look at the whole setup for this, because it really moves us way beyond sports slogans to really our everyday struggles. Mm-hmm. In the verse before the verse, in verse 12 of Philippians 4, Paul says, he's learned the secret of being content, but here's everything he says. He says, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether felt well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And then he says, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. And that to me is a powerful way to think about this is the idea that it's connected to this idea of Paul's experience of being in plenty and in want, of being in times of great need as well as in times of great abundance. He experienced both, and he's saying, I can do all of this, whether it's much or little, I can do it through Christ. So it's not just about the mountaintops, but it's also about the valleys. Mm-hmm. It's not just about being wildly successful. It's also about being in times of great and deep need. No matter what, I can do that. I can endure that. I can walk through that. I can I can come out the other side of that because I have the strength that Jesus gives me.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's great how he, you know, walks us through these verses, you know, and how he you know, is saying something that we can all agree with of times of you know, feast or famine, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where there's times in our life where things are abundant and things are plentiful. And then there's times when, you know, we're scraping the barrel, you know? And so whether in all of those things, you know, we get our strength from God.
So if that's true, then it means, let's say the superstar that's on the superstar athlete who's on the verge of winning the Super Bowl.
Sure.
The night before the game, you know, an interviewer puts a microphone in his face and says, how do you think things are going to go tomorrow? And he says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That truly means whether I win or I lose,
right.
I can do all things.
Right.
It doesn't mean I'm going to win.
Right.
It means that no matter the outcome, high or low, you know, victory or defeat, doesn't matter. I can do it through Christ who gives me strength.
Right.
It's a very different way to think about it. Hopefully Steph Curry, you know, that's his way of thinking about it and other athletes, but it's not the impression we often get. Years ago, I did a series that people still talk about to me, probably because the series had this provocative name. The name of the series, I think this is before you were here. The name of the series was actually that verse doesn't mean what you think it means.
Well,
were you here?
I think I was here.
You were here for that.
Was it actually called Actually?
It was. Actually was the first word of it.
Okay, that's so not then that might have preceded me.
Okay, yeah, because we know we have a staff member, won't say Nikki's name, but she loves that phrase, actually.
Yeah, she loves it. Yeah. She loves it, yeah.
I think that's something different. Yeah. But this series, actually, that verse doesn't mean what you think it means, was... this was the chief offender, this verse right here. This was like the go-to verse that really, you know, the other verses kind of were built upon. But this would be like, you know, culprit number one, because we can so easily misinterpret what it means.
Right, right.
Yeah. What it really means then is I can be content with whatever life throws at us, whether it's good or bad, much or little, poverty or riches, because Jesus is right there giving me the power to endure it, to walk through it. I think it's, you know, what's interesting is that the way I've been quoting this verse is probably different than the way we say it. We tend to say I can do all things through him who gives me strength, because that's the old King James version, the way it was said, but the newer translations try to correct this kind of misunderstanding, the way people have taken it out of context. And so the way, you know, I've been saying it is the newer version, which says, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. This referring to much or little, hungry or well-fed, no matter what I face, I can do it. Whatever life sends your way, God will give you the strength and the resources to see you through. And the way that, you know, I put it for my message on this on Sunday is contentment comes from knowing God will give me strength for whatever I face. Mm-hmm. That's where we find contentment. Knowing God will give me strength for whatever I face, high or low.
Right. Right. Yeah. I love how, you know, you can look at a passage and be able to, you know, look at the text and then build a message from that and be able to give us a way to apply it in life. I think you have a real knack at that, you know, and I love the way you do that, you know, for our church. And then, you know, I get to, you know, have the benefit of having like a double, you know, because then I get the benefit of listening to you on Sunday and then also doing the podcast with you.
Yeah.
But I just love the way you said that. Our contentment comes from God. All our strength, our provisions, all of the blessings, the things that happen in life for us, all of those good things, all of the ways that God wants to prosper us, and has a plan for us, comes from him. You know? And that's where our contentment is found. It's not found in all the other things, you know, come and go, are fleeting. But knowing God and knowing his heart and him revealing that to us, that's where our contentment is.
So that's a really good way to put it. These other things come and go.
Yeah.
They're up and down. And that's sort of Paul's experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been up and I've been down.
Right.
He's writing from prison.
Yes. Because later on in the passage too, I didn't know if you were going to get to that or not. Yeah.
Yeah. He's writing from prison, which that alone should correct any misconceptions or wrong notions that we have, that this verse, that he somehow means that I can achieve, you know, my great goals no matter what, unless you think his personal goal was to end up in prison someday, which, you know, it wasn't.
It
was his lot. It was it was God's, you know, God was using that in his life, but that wasn't his ambition. So realizing that he's writing this from prison should correct any misuse of this passage.
Right.
It means that whatever I face, high or low, God's going to give me the strength to get that through. So here are just like four quick correctives. These are the kinds of things I can't really go into on a Sunday morning, but for our listeners, I think it's a helpful way to, kind of revisit this passage and what contentment's all about. The first corrective is that Bible verses are not fortune cookies. It's easy to take a verse out of context and just treat it like, oh, I just got a fortune in my, you know, after dinner, after having some good Kung Pao or something, you know, I just opened up the fortune cookie and oh, this is a blessing for my life, you know, but we treat them like they're not connected to what it says before or after.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is a case in point. If we took this verse all by itself, it's easy to misunderstand what it means. But in context, Paul in prison, writing about highs and lows, all of that, it makes way more sense. This isn't a blank check for success or achievement. Rather, it's this promise that God will strengthen us whatever we face.
Yeah, yeah. So that's great.
Yeah. I think there's so many verses like that. You know, we claim the verse, which is great, but let's look at what's around that verse too.
Right, right, right. I'm trying to think I think even a few, now I'm losing track, but I think it was you a few weeks ago, we're talking about the where two or more are gathered.
Yeah.
The verse.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right, right. And you were in where it's like people will use that in a way, it's like, oh, well, when any of Christians or believers gather, you know, and you're like, well, that's not really what was going on. You know what I mean? Because there was some trouble going on in the church. And Paul was saying, you know, when we gather, yes, the Spirit of God is with us, but we use that in a more positive tone versus the real tone that he was actually talking about.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. We covered that when we talked about division a couple weeks ago.
Yes,
and if you read that, wherever two more gather in my name, I'll be there too. Jesus said that. And it sounds as if he's talking about prayer.
Right.
It makes sense to apply it there, but the context is actually conflict.
Yes.
So it's Jesus talking about like, I'll be there in the middle of your conflict.
Right. Right.
Way more intense.
Yes.
And what a great promise.
Right.
You know,
right.
that he's there in the middle of that. So that's a great, great example.
Yeah.
I still I can remember someone just like having so much trouble with this one, but, and probably, I don't know why I'm bringing it up because someone's going to have trouble with it on the podcast too, but like we take Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you,
to prosper you and to
give you a future and hope. We put it on like graduation cards and, you know,
babies, nurseries. And
it's like a great verse, but again, it's not, it's not a fortune cookie. It's not just an individual verse all by itself. The context of Jeremiah 29:11 is my future and hope for you is going to be to stay in they've been taken captive, stay in captivity in Babylon.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm going to bless you in Babylon, but it's, you know, there it's like you're going to stay here in captivity and I'm going to bless you there. So it's like, I'm going to bless you, but it's going to be a blessing in a tough situation, not a great situation.
Right, right.
And it's like, oh, I don't want to know. I remember someone like I preached on that during that verse isn't what that what you think it means. And She was like, I didn't want to hear that. You know?
She's like, I don't want that. I don't want that.
But it actually is a great, it's like whatever situation we're in.
Right.
You know, it's sort of what Paul's saying right here from prison, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's great.
The second corrective is that Jesus is the center, not ourself. When we take it as a motivational mantra or a slogan, it's usually because we are thinking about my goals. Mm-hmm. This is what I want to achieve. And the center of this passage and center of Paul's heart when he wrote this was that Jesus is central.
Right.
You know, that Jesus needs to be lifted up. He needs to be exalted. And it's his strength that's going to get me through. It's really about his strength, not my perseverance, my muscling my way to the top.
Well, we were talking about that a few weeks ago too, about how we even pray, right? Like we even pray in a very accomplishing kind of a way. You're like, this is what's going on, this is how I want you to fix it, and I need you to do it this way, you know what I mean? It's like, I want to become the best, and that's a great accomplishment to be, you know, in the NHL or basketball or whatever, right? Like, that's a great accomplishment, but...
What a surprise. We're bringing hockey back into this. What a surprise. Hockey is once again mentioned in our podcast.
It's so funny because as I was saying that, I was like, don't say NHL. And I was like, oh, shoot. You know?
You're not going to get away with anything.
I'm not going to get away.
Nope.
I'm not going to get away. I lost my train of thought. No, anyway, what I'm saying is like our contentment, our strength, all of those things... are in Christ, not in us.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. That's what I say too much is absolutely. Someone, please don't keep track of how many times I say absolutely either.
I've been trying so hard to say you, not to say you know.
You know, it's hard. It is hard. I'm sure I've said it like 35 times so far.
You know?
You know? Anyway, I have a third one. The third corrective is that this is for strength in both struggles as well as success. Mm-hmm. I think even if we understand what this verse is really about, even if we get it, the context of it, we often just think of it in terms of, this is a tough time I'm going through, but I can be content because Jesus is going to give me the strength through it. But it's also for times of success. Mm-hmm. It's also for those times when we're in plenty, as Paul puts it, or well-fed. Those times when things are going really well for us, even then we need to realize that Jesus will give us the strength to get through that.
Right.
Because without his strength, we would be tempted to put our hope in those things or to even not let those things be satisfying for us.
Right.
We could get sort of, oh, I need more.
Yeah.
This isn't enough. It's like I get more and I need more.
Right. Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And even then, even during times when things are going well, we need to remember the promise of contentment is found in Christ, not those things.
Yeah. It reminds me of the stickers, you know, of like that God is like greater than the highs and the lows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it kind of reminds me of that.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like, yeah, it's true. God is with us in our highs and he's with us in our lowest of lows. You know?
I think we can actually be tempted to forget God during times of
when plenty.
Plenty.
Yeah.
Yeah, because now those things are satisfying us. Mm-hmm. And so this is a great verse for both.
Yes.
For times, not just when things are tight and tough, but also when things are good and abundant.
Mm-hmm.
The final one is just to remember the communal aspect of this verse, all the way through the series that we're talking about here on this podcast is this idea that these are things that we can crush in community. We can defeat division. We can win over worry and we can diffuse discontentment. Next week we'll cover, we can, succeed over, slay. We're going to slay stinginess.
Nice.
You know, so these are all things that we crush in community. And even discontentment versus contentment is something that is we benefit from in community.
Mm-hmm.
I'm convinced that one of the reasons that Paul wrote this to the church at Philippi, not to individuals, but to the whole church, and one of the reasons that God preserved it so that we could know it and read it and take it to heart today is because this is meant for our whole life together as one another. And contentment is contagious. When you're around people and they're always striving for more and always discontent, that kind of rubs off. And when we're around people that say, you know, Jesus has given me the strength for whatever I face,
yeah,
that is really encouraging. Yeah. That actually is like, yeah, that's the mindset. That's the way I should think about it too. And I think it can be one of our great testimonies as a community as well, that we find our strength in Jesus.
Yeah. At the conference, I was talking to one of the teachers and staff members that was there. And, you know, we just got to talking and he kind of was sharing a little bit about his story. And he had, you know, he was a CPA, he was had his own company, and he just felt so discontent with what he was built. And you would look at that and you go,
wow, you had so much.
You were the highest of the high, you know, for like, you know, you had your own company, you had your employees and everything. And he's like, it brings me no happiness. And so he decided to get his credential and he wanted to teach. And then he felt like God told him after that, he said that he felt like God was telling him to go teach at a Christian school, you know? And then he's like, now he looks back and goes, you know, I almost felt like I got a second chance at finding something that I was going to be content at and felt like this is what God's plan was for me, you know? And you would look at that and you go, what do you mean? Like you have everything, you know? And he's like, no, it wasn't enough. It wasn't where I was supposed to be, you know?
From the world standpoint, it looked like he took a couple steps back.
Yes. Well, I mean, to be a CPA, to go a teacher.
Yes.
I mean,
several steps back.
That's several.
From a financial standpoint. For sure. But from a fulfillment standpoint, way better.
Way better.
And go ahead.
Sorry. No. It was, I just thought of something else that I thought was really important too, that he, at teaching at the school, he then got to take his kids to school every day.
Yeah.
And so that he said that that's something that now that his kids are older, you know, and off in college and doing their own thing. He's like, I look back at those moments and I go like, that's priceless to me. You know, that every day I got to go and teach at the Christian school. And then also my kids got to go with me, you know, and he just was like, this is what I was supposed to be doing, you know?
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. That's good. So part of finding God's strength, Jesus's strength, is just also embracing Jesus's values, to value what he values. And in the middle of that, that gives you perspective. It's actually possible for someone listening to our podcast to be a CPA and own their own business.
Oh, for sure.
And find contentment in Christ because maybe from a world standpoint, they've achieved a number of, you know, good accolades and milestones and success points. But the danger is when you've been climbing that ladder thinking that was the pathway
to
contentment.
Right.
And suddenly you get there and you're disappointed.
Right, right. That's what he was saying that he felt.
Yeah. If you were following that, not because it was the way God's called you, shaped you, your values, but it's like, I'm going to find contentment. That is a big disappointment.
Yeah.
That is a wake-up call for a lot of people when they thought, this, I don't really want to do this career, but it's a path towards contentment.
Right.
And you spend all that time climbing. It's sort of like, so this is how someone explained it to me years ago. It's like you spend all this time climbing this ladder. And you get to the very top and you realize it was leaning up against the wrong wall.
Yes. Yeah.
You know,
yeah, that's good.
It's like, I'm not even, this isn't the right ladder.
No.
The right ladder's over there.
Right.
And then you go to that ladder that's leaning against Jesus and you realize at every rung you can find contentment.
Yeah.
Contentment's not at the top.
No.
Contentment's all the way up and down.
Yeah. That's great.
Whether you're at the top of the rung, you're at the bottom of the rung. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
The contentment is found there.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so a few things, just correctives that the Bible is not a fortune cookie Bible verses. Jesus is the center, not self. Strength is for both struggles as well as success. And remember the communal aspect of this. Hopefully that's a helpful way to think about contentment that kind of parallels and builds upon what we talk about on Sunday morning as we kind of go through these passages together. Okay, so I have a listener question, and it's kind of my own question. I have a question that's for you based on our topic.
Cool.
Because I realize if I open up to listener questions, it'd just be like, here's what we say wrong.
No, let's keep it going. We got to keep bringing them in.
No, I was surprised. I was expecting a barrage of questions. Well, not only that, but which is fine. I'm pleased. You know, let me know. I'm still got to learn. I got a long way to go. So let me know. But this one actually ties into the topic a little bit more. Based on what we've said
about
Philippians 4:13, and you'll be happy to know I was going to bring hockey in anyway.
Hey, all right.
How would you, Ryan, apply this to hockey?
Yeah.
You're playing, you know, hockey every week. How will you apply, or how would you apply Philippians 4:13? Let's say you had it tattooed on your arm or written on your skate.
Right.
Not your shoe, but your skate.
Right.
How would you apply this?
I would apply it. Well, being content in the moment, you know, in your wins and in your losses, mm-hmm. you know, two sides of every puck. You know, being content in that, being content in the fact that, you know, at my age, I can still play. I can get to play with my kids, which I feel like is, you know, even more exciting to me and even more fun to me when I get to go out and skate with them, and, you know, then working with other, you know, kids and teaching them how to fall in love with what I think is the greatest game, unbiased opinion.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so
no, that's good. Yeah.
But being content in that, you know, being content in the wins and the losses, you know, just knowing that I'm still at this, you know, at my age, I can still play a competitive and physical sport, you know?
I feel like there's a lot of intangibles that are way more valuable than the score.
Right. Yes. Yes, you know, for sure.
That you can be driving home from a game and be thinking to yourself, like you say, how fortunate I am.
Yeah.
You know, that God's given me this and the ability to do this.
For
and
sure.
He gives me the strength to do it. And it's got all these benefits, regardless of whether you got three goals that night
or
whether you guys, you know,
we lost or something.
Got killed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So even last week, I, you know, after the game, where was one of the guys was like, hey, does anybody want to go to In-N-Out? And I just happened to have been running around that day and I hadn't eaten anything.
Yeah.
You know, and so I was like, you know, that sounds really good.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and it was
a
late game. So I knew, like, you know, I knew Mandy and the kids, like, they were already asleep, you know, had been asleep for a few hours at that point because it was a late game. And so I was like, oh, well, I don't have anywhere to be. Like, you know, I'm like, yeah, I'll take you up on that offer. Like, let's go get something to eat. And we sat down and we got our food. And he goes, do you mind praying for our dinner? He goes, it's nice to know. He's like, that there's other, like, believers at the rink. And, like, I don't tell everybody, you know what I mean? Like, I just kind of let my life reflect it, you know? But I had no idea that he was also a believer, too.
Wow.
So it was like, well, this is the point. You know what I mean? Like, this is the point in playing this game, in playing the sport. It's like, it's not about the wins and the losses and how many goals or assists or whatever you get. Like, this is the point. Now he and I have this connection now, the two of us, you know, which I had no idea that he knew that I was, or vice versa. You know? So, but, you know, so I was like, this is the point, you know, I can be content in this.
That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, I was going to say, is there anything better than In-N-Out at 10:30 at night?
It was like 11:15.
11:15 at night. Is there anything better? But there is.
Yes,
it's
there
when
is.
Suddenly you bow your head there in the restaurant and say, I you have a connection with a believer.
Yeah, for
sure. Another believer.
Yeah.
And you realize, it's not the food, but it's who you're thanking for the food.
Exactly.
That where the contentment comes.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Although we need to talk about why he didn't know you were a believer already, but.
No. What I meant to say was.
I couldn't tell by the way.
No. What I meant to, I know that I have friends that are, you know, fellow believers, and we have that connection where it's like I hadn't connected with him in that way, if that makes sense.
I'm kidding. I'm teasing. All right. I actually wrote a listener question for myself as well.
So yeah,
the same
there you go.
Kind of the same question but applied to my situation rather than to hockey.
Yeah.
And if you heard my Sunday morning message from, yeah. from a couple weeks ago, you would know that, that my mom just went through really pretty serious, even kind of life-threatening surgery and has come out on the other side with great news and is recovering well. So that's fantastic. But the question I would put for me is, how would I apply this verse mm-hmm. going into knowing that my mom's going to this very, you know, dramatic and potentially very risky surgery?
Yeah.
Because those are the times when we want to take verses like this and kind of claim them.
Yes.
And kind of say, this means that everything's going to go great. Everything's going to go well. And I would say that I would apply this verse saying God's going to give her and us, her family, the strength for whatever happens,
mm-hmm.
whether not, if I was on the front end of this, not knowing what's going to happen. And here we only a couple weeks out. So it's, you know, this, there's still a lot of recovery ahead, but whatever happens, however it goes, we know that, that whatever life brings our way, God will give us the strength to see us through.
Yeah.
And in her case, it, now I can look back and say it was really good news. They got all of the cancer, but also didn't mean we didn't end up at the emergency room a couple of days later with, you know, kind of some scary stuff there too. And God gave her and my sister and I strength as we were there with her, through that ordeal as well. And to know that whatever, you know, our listeners are facing, the same thing is that whether it's the kind of ordinary stuff of life, the week-to-week stuff like hockey, and you get to do that every week, or whether it's sort of simple like an In-N-Out burger, mm-hmm. a late-night In-N-Out burger, or whether it's the intense stuff of, you know, emergency room and life-threatening circumstances, it doesn't, wherever that is, we
right.
can claim this verse not
yeah.
as everything's going to be, every dream I have about this is going to come true.
Right.
But rather, whatever I face, however this goes, north or south, doesn't matter. God's going to give me the strength to get through it.
Yeah.
And to me, this is why this verse that is one of people's favorites is even better than they think.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
even better when you understand what it's really about.
Right, right, right. Yeah. You can do all things.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, hope this has been encouragement to you. Remember, as we talked about last week, as Ryan and I talk about these things, we're talking about progress, not perfection. We're just like you, kind of trying to figure this out. We have days when we're discontent and mm-hmm. shouldn't be, and times when we get some victory in these areas of contentment as well. And so you're not alone if you're wrestling with these things, if you're putting these things into practice, finding some success, and maybe some times when you don't do as well as you like, you're not alone. That's what we're doing together as we journey through this together. Thanks, Ryan, for the conversation. I always love it.
Yeah.
Thank you to our enthusiastic viewers and listeners. Until next time, this has been Unhurried with me, your host, Doug Kyle, and I look forward to talking soon.